Your dad was John McCain.
Yes. My dad was a huge music fan. I'm going to tell you right now, my dad loved Willie Nelson. And people are like, you can't say you liked Willie Nelson because he dodged his taxes, blah, blah, blah. Well, he loved Willie Nelson. He did.
Everybody thinks they can do it. How can I become a professional wrestler? You really can't.
I pulled out the gun and I shot two times.
We have a complicated family. We were all raised to argue with each other with intensity, with passion, but also to love each other.
This is WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome to WTMJ Conversations. I'm your host, Libby Collins. Over the past 35 years, Susan K. Wuerle has become one of the most sought-after leadership coaches and keynote speakers in the country. She's written 12 books, including her latest, Shift, which has also been produced as a docu-reality show coming to Apple TV, Amazon, Hulu, and any place you get those shows on demand. And Susan, you fascinate me because you have such an interesting background. Tell us a little bit about how you grew up, because you grew up around some very strong women.
Yes, that was a blessing for sure. So my mother was an entrepreneur, and so was my grandmother, way ahead of their time. And then my great aunt was the president of Mount Mary College, and she and I would often walk the campus together and just talk leadership and people dynamics. And she was the first one who recognized in me that I had an intuitive nature.
In what way? What was it about you that made her say, there's something special here?
I would say that she probably noticed that I was curious and a deep thinker. And she asked me one day, do you hear that voice within and the calling? I remember her attaching and the calling to that. And I looked at her nun outfit and I thought, is she talking about the calling to be a nun? And I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to tell her that I don't want to be a nun? So I said, Sister Mary Nora, I really respect what you do, but I like boys too much. And she started to laugh and she said, no, I mean the calling, like that inner intuitive voice within you that calls to you and guides you where to go. And I said, yes, I really hear that. I didn't know if that was normal or not. And she said, well, it is. And at the highest level, she said, I think it's the Holy Spirit. That's the voice you want to listen to. And I think at that time, I must have been maybe 13 years old. And what a blessing, because she named it and she said it was a good thing and to follow it. So I began to develop the listening to that very young.
What's interesting, Susan, I'm thinking back to when I was a teenage girl and what I like to watch on TVs, you know, sitcoms and wait for the bands to come on all the TV shows. Your taste went a little different than that as far as some of the personalities that drew you to watch television.
Yeah, isn't that something? So my family was really into sports, and I was a cheerleader in high school, and I was a pom-pom girl in college, so it's not that I didn't like sports, but I'd find it boring after a while watching it on TV versus being in person. So I would go into the other room, and PBS would just draw me because I was so, again, curious, this thirst for knowing, for thinking deeper, and people like Leo Biscaglio and Zig Ziglar, and I would sit there literally for hours like a sponge, taking all that in. But I think really what it was beyond the curiosity was this thirst for wisdom. Again, when you're intuitively aligned, truth is one of your highest values. And when something rings true in you, it's this like aha knowing that you just feel connected to yourself.
So how would you utilize that? Especially when you were a kid, because that's an unusual attribute for a girl 13, 14 years old.
Well, I started utilizing it when I was even younger than that. I remember when I was 5 years old saying to my mother, Dad's not my real dad, is he? And the look on her face was shocked. To me, it was like the elephant in the room. Like I put two and two together and it was like really obvious. And it's not that I didn't like my dad. I actually felt closer to him in some ways than my mother, but I could just tell. And she said, where'd you get that silly imagination of yours? You know, that's ridiculous. And she shut it down. So I started to notice, isn't that interesting? When I speak my intuitive truth and somebody's open, like my mother would do some of her business out of the house. And at a young age, I would say to her, you know, Mom, that didn't sound very good on the phone. I could just tell. And she'd go, why? And I said, I don't know how to explain it, but you just seemed like you were pushing too hard. And she'd be like, oh, you're right. So there were times very welcoming and other times like, oh, don't go there. I don't even want to look at this myself.
So the obvious question was, Was your dad your real dad?
No. So because I knew that was like a no-go conversation, that was one of the areas of my life where I kind of shut that down for a while.
And nobody had ever said that to you before?
Nobody has said a word. It was the big secret of my family. When I was 16 years old, I remember driving in my dad's car, and I looked over at him, and I said, "You're not my real dad, are you?" And the look on his face, he was totally heartbroken, just heartbroken. And he said, "When you're older, we'll talk about it." Well, I knew that was an answer. You know, I could feel the energy. I could see his body language. Again, I think as an intuitive, I picked up that 93% of communication that wasn't just words. I picked up the body language, the tone of voice, the emotional energy, and I trusted that more than the words. But I honored his boundary. And so when I was 18 years old, he died of a heart attack. And I felt at that time, I'm probably never going to find out because my mother was so guarded around it. And of course, this was before Ancestry.com. Now you can pay $99 and get all those answers online, right? But what happened was when I was about 33 years old, I was slowing down my life a little bit. My babies were getting a little bit older. You know how it is when you're a real busy early mom, you know? So I was getting a little more room in my life. My career was getting a little more established and I had a little more space to wonder. And I started wondering about my birth father again. I started having these dreams. And the dreams were leading me to some cues. And I began to meditate. Now, back then, there were not like yoga pants and Lululemon pants and, you know, meditation yoga studios. But I just kind of intuitively knew that if I breathed deeply into my body, that I was more able to hear that intuitive voice inside. So I would ask a question, how might I know who is really my birth father? And it was like a detective show where I was led one clue at a time to finally get to this point where I found out I had AB negative blood type, which only 3% of the people in the United States have. My mother had positive and so did my dad. So two positives don't make a negative, and that's how I knew.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
Now my mother couldn't deny it, right? Because I had proof.
Author and leadership coach Susan K. Worley reveals the family secret.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins. We're talking with author and leadership coach Susan K. Worley. Did you ever find out what the secret was?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So now my mother couldn't deny it, right? Because I had proof. So I went to her. And of course, this was just one of her secrets in her life that she felt ashamed of. We, again, were Catholic, and back then, annulments were not an option, you know, and she really believed if she got a divorce and got remarried that she would go to hell. That was her belief system. So think about how imprisoning that is. So she was separated from my dad at the time of the affair. She had an affair with a man. He was married to his high school girlfriend. They had had two children, but they were estranged as well. And my brother is also his child, 11 months older than me. So it was boom, boom, very quick. And when she was separated, he owned his own real estate company. And she went to apply for a job. And she said it was just something she had never felt before. It just took over them, the attraction. And they really couldn't stay away from each other for years. They tried to. We did meet him and turned out he was our neighbor. And yeah, you never know, right? Good Catholic family.
So through all of this, and you talk about your intuition, when you did go to college, you took a career path that at that point was not traditionally for women. And that was you really wanted to go into sales.
Well, I was sales initially, but I knew I wanted to go into something that was like public speaking about this or consulting, or the word coaching was not really a word back then. So consulting about it, but I didn't really know how to frame it because back then intuition was kind of looked at as woo, you know, it's like that and business, they don't go together, they're hand in hand. But I knew that was my calling and it ended up that I was in sales for a while and I was very successful. Again, I think mostly because I used my intuition to really get down to the core of what people needed. and then help them get what they needed. And so people liked the fact that I could listen and understand so deeply.
And you were in your 20s and you were making well into six figures.
Yeah, I was 28 years old and I was already making six figures, which was back then, again, you know, I'm 66 years old, so you have to remember that was a lot of years ago. And it was unusual. They wanted me to go into management at that time with the company. It's now a Fortune 300 company, but something in my gut just knew that wasn't my path. Well, it turned out that my youngest daughter was ill for 6 months. So I quit that job and then she miraculously got better. I say she was my destiny baby. And so I said, I'm opening up my own business and I'm going to be a sales trainer and leadership development trainer. I knew how I could do the sales training part because of my sales experience, but I didn't really know how I was going to do the leadership part. I just knew I was supposed to.
So what did you do? How did you get that started?
Again, I used my intuition because I asked the question, how might I do this? I just humbled myself and asked, show me, how might I do this? Again, don't forget, Sister Mary Nora had taught me, listen to that as a guidance within you. And so I was like, I hear I'm supposed to do this, but I don't know how. And that's when I developed that phrase, how might I, which is my key phrase now that I teach people. Didn't get an answer, but I just kept, when I get little things like, okay, do your business card or do, you know, start to do a website. One day I go to my daughter's kindergarten program and this woman comes over to me and I had a pair of red boots on and she's like, I love your boots. And I'm like, I love them too. And we laughed and she goes, what do you do? And I said, well, I just quit my big corporate six-figure job. She's like, wow. And she goes, and what are you doing now? And I said, well, I was going to stay home with my sick daughter, but she's healthy now. So I'm starting my own business. And she said, what? And I said, well, I'm going to do sales training and leadership training. She goes, oh, my brother was just over last night. He's the VP of Pepsi. His trainer just quit. Call him. And I remember that moment, I'm thinking, oh, I don't have my website up. I don't have this. And then I heard, get over it. So I said, okay, give me his number. I called him and I just was honest. I said, this all just happened serendipitously. And I said, I can tell you my philosophy, but I don't even have the program written yet, nor do I have the website. And so we chatted for about an hour and a half and he hired me to write their sales training program, their leadership program, and train. I think it was 30 people.
And this all just happened.
It was serendipitous. But again, this is what happens when I've now trademarked this as a gut intelligence process, because I can show you the brain science behind what it was that I was doing so naturally and not even understanding it. But when I research the neuroscience behind it, there's a vagus nerve that goes from your gut all the way up to your head brain. And I can now explain through science how you can access these different lobes in the brain. And one of them is how you manifest. And when you manifest, you do it by saying, how might I? Ask, believe, receive. So I knew, I believed I was supposed to do that. I had that part down pat. I heard it. I knew it. I felt it in my gut. So I was asking, how might I? And then you just hold the vision to receive, and there it was.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
The police called me and said, your daughter was in an accident. She's fine, and it's a miracle. We cannot understand how she came out of this alive.
Susan K. Worley describes the moment her daughter's life was saved because of her gut intuition.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
I'm your host, Libby Collins. Let's return to our conversation with Susan K. Worley, the author of Shift. So this goes back to the gut intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And let's define that a little bit deeper. Now, you said that it's an actual physical part of one's body?
Yeah, because there's a vagus nerve that goes all the way up to the head brain, and it connects initially to the temporal lobe. And the temporal lobe houses all of the memories. And you remember certain things because there was an emotional charge to them. So it's in the amygdala. The problem with trusting your gut is those memories have an emotional charge to them. So oftentimes when we get a gut alert, it can be very emotional, which can send people into a fight, flight, or freeze. But when you learn to breathe into your gut, when you get that gut alert, alert, what happens is that bridge in your brain is called a corpus callosum. It opens up from a dirt road to a four-lane highway. And you now are able, if you stay in that place of wonder, how might I? I got a gut alert. How might I handle this? That'll take you into the frontal lobe and the parietal lobe where you can access strategy and intuition. Now, science says if you really want to be able to get there quickly in the moment that matters, you need to meditate 20 minutes a day, because you create a neural pathway by knowing as soon as something happens, you know your body has memory to know to breathe into your gut.
So you've written about this in your book,
mm-hmm.
Shift. How does an individual actually put this to practical use?
So I have one technique that really will help you immediately make the shift, and it's called the STOP technique. S stands for slow down and breathe. T stands for tune in to that gut alert. O is observe what's happening. And P is perceive a possibility with the help of your intuition by asking, how might I? That's that magical question. So let me give you a quick example. When my children were young, they didn't know I was teaching them how to be intuitive. But I'd have them after school, you know, in sports and dance and all that. I'd say, okay, but while mom's cooking, you're just going to take a little break. This is not a timeout that you were bad. It's just a little relaxation break. And I just have them sit and do nothing, like look out in the backyard. And I said, I want you to just breathe down into your belly. And I just want you to wonder about your day and sort of tune into how you were feeling all day long. And then we'll talk about it at dinner time. So it was really kind of like a little mindfulness exercise with them, right? Well, I didn't realize how powerful that exercise was for them until my oldest daughter, who was a goalie for UW-Madison, she would drive her moped back and forth to practice. And I'd say, Lisa, you need to wear your helmet. Oh, mom, you know how they do that, right? Oh, mom, I'm going to be fine. Well, one day she was driving home on her moped and a UW truck pulled out right in front of her. And she said, Mom, in that moment, I knew what to do. I slow down. I breathed in my gut. I tuned into what was happening and observed. There was a car here, somebody behind me. And I asked my intuition, how might I come out of this safely? And she said, I heard my intuition say, make a box. That's how goalies think. That would mean nothing to me, but right. But make a box on the truck and tuck and roll. So what she did is immediately she jumped up. She made a box, she hit the truck, she rolled back in her lane, and the moped went under the truck and got crushed. Now, when the police called me and said, your daughter was in an accident, they said, she's fine, and it's a miracle. We cannot understand how she came out of this alive. She had a tiny, tiny little tear in her meniscus. That was it. I mean, no cracked head, nothing. I think of that moment as the moment when she could do that. And how many seconds would that have been? 2, 3, 4? I don't know. Seconds, right? But she could access that so quickly. And I've got stories upon stories like that. But I think that's one of the most profound.
It certainly was, and certainly saved her life.
Yeah, that's a life-saving story.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I said to them, I'm totally fine with this being about my birth father's story, but I really want this to be more of a reality show.
Susan K. Worley tells us how she turned her book into a docu-reality TV show.
Now more of WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back to our conversation with Susan K. Worley. She's written a book called Shift, and it's now becoming a docu-reality TV show. Going back to your book, Shift, you have produced a television show based on this book. How did all that come about?
So I'm going to go way back a little bit first, okay? So my very first book was actually called The Secret to I Am. And it's my whole life story unfolding and how I found my birth father. So you get the whole intuitive story, one clue at a time. And when I wrote that book, I heard my intuition say, this is going to be made into a movie someday. So I remember saying to my children, you know, just so you know, this is probably going to be made into a movie. Then one day, about 2.5 years ago, I was meditating in the morning, and I heard in my meditation, opened Steve Harrison's email today because there's something very important for you. Now, Steve Harrison is a guy who puts on a class, if you will, for authors. And I took it way back when I wrote that book because I didn't know how to be an author. And it was out in New York. And Steve would send me a lot of stuff since then, but like I didn't open up all his stuff. So this day I opened it up and it was, "Hey, Susan, I remember the book you wrote 20 years ago. And I have a producer from Netflix that is interested in your story. And I want to connect you to." So long story short, I had to go through this whole vetted process and everything. And they were very, very interested in doing my birth father story, which I have no problem. It's already published and it's easy for me to talk about. My birth father knew I wrote the book. My mother knew I wrote the book. I've met my half siblings. It's not a big secret anymore. So as we got into talking about what the show would be, my intuition was telling me, this is not where I want you to be right now. You're so much past that. Meaning, I have created a process to teach people how to be intuitive called Gut Intelligence Blueprint. And in the last 8 years, I have been dedicated to teaching people what I do, because it's like math. You can learn math. Some people are naturally good at math, right? But you can learn it. And same thing with intuition. Some people are naturally intuitive, but you can learn how to be intuitive. So I said to them, "I'm totally fine with this being about my birth father's story, but I really want this to be more of a reality show where it's about how people have learned this gut intelligence blueprint. And you see now this in action with people. You know, it's not just a Susan's a muse kind of thing anymore. It's like, hey, you can learn this and it can change your life for the better." So they were willing. They really loved the story. They really loved the techniques. We got into a little thing where we weren't aligned any longer because they wanted to get a celebrity to be the host for the show. And every time we got a celebrity, it was like wanting to gear towards their branding. My gut was like, this is not in alignment, you know? And again, I had to be true to that. So I learned a lot, though, I have to tell you, because the person I worked with, the head producer, used to be the producer for Michael Douglas Productions, and he was very good. And he was very affirming to me. He believed in me. We had a great relationship. Anyway, long story short, our contract together was up last year in September, but he's like, "Give me a few more months. Just give me a few more months." And then if you remember what happened in California, they kind of had a shutdown in January and February because of all those fires starting actually third week in January. And it was pretty horrific out there. So it got to be the middle of February. And I said to him, "Robert, what do you want to do here? I don't want to, even though I contractually can take all the work that we did and leave, I want to know how might we?" And he said, "We're so shut down here now, Susan." He said, "It will probably be months before I can get in contact with the people I need to get in contact." He said, "If you want to take the show, go ahead and I will consult with you in the background." I meditated on it. Didn't take me more than 24 hours. And I heard, "You can do this." And I'm telling you, everything unfolded since then, just kind of like the Pepsi situation. The people I found to do the video, the editing, Milwaukee Journal picked up an article. We had 179 people apply for the contestants. The auditions were so interesting.
Are they all local?
Yes, this first series, and I say first because I know we're going to do it again and we're going to do it in a different city.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
Every single time we filmed outside, which was every single time, it was supposed to rain.
Susan K. Worley talks about the unexpected challenges of producing her own TV show.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back to our conversation with Susan K. Worley, whose book Shift is now a docu-reality TV show. I'm your host, Libby Collins. How does the show work?
So the show, we just got done with our last episode, filming it on the 4th of July, by the way. So I'm just like Oh, it's like having a baby. You know, I'm so excited. I delivered this baby. Now I got to raise the baby. But so here's how it starts out. It starts out with they all take an online assessment to find out where are they in the gut intelligence blueprint, what level of consciousness. Then they're given a challenge. And we in our outdoor situation where it's scary things that they have to do.
How many contestants?
Well, we had one eliminated. Again, you'll have to watch the show to find out what happened. But we have six contestants. One is a couple. So they were put in very difficult situations because the whole key was to come up against your fear. And when you came up against your fear, were you using the skills from the gut intelligence blueprint to increase your gut intelligence, or were you stuck in the muck of your fear, self-doubt, and judgment? So you see them on this, what I would call a challenge course, and there's three huge different things they have to do. And I'm coaching them to get past their fear, to get aligned, to do their breathing so they can make that connection. Of course, you're hearing all the conversations like you would in a reality show and things like that. And then that's two episodes because that is a pretty big challenge and it's split into two episodes. The next two episodes, we have winners. We're keeping scores. So three of the people do a group challenge and the other four do individual challenges. So now it breaks down the next two episodes to these individual challenges they have to do. And basically, they're facing head on what they came to shift. The very thing they're afraid to shift, they are now shifting in real life, not a challenge course, in real life. And then the final two episodes we did out on my lake property, and they had to make something out of nothing with no instructions and really trust their gut. And then they had to basically, I can't give away what the last challenge was, but it was tell their journey in a very creative way. And they only had an hour to put it together. But again, trusting your gut that you've got this.
What does the winner get?
I should have brought it. You should see. I'll tell you, it puts the Oscar to shame. It's a cheetah. It's a cheetah trophy. I bet I'll show you.
Which is on the cover of your book.
Yeah. And it's because when you learn these gut intelligence principles, I always say you get your cheetah on, you're able to make it in cheetah speed, the shift from fear to intuition.
This almost sounds like a combination of Survivor and The Apprentice. How do personalities react in this? I mean, is there any sort of conflict among the contestants?
You're a brilliant woman. I'll tell you, that's a great question because I didn't write, because I was the writer for the show and the producer, I didn't write conflict into it, but a couple of times conflict happened. And I remember the first time it happened, I was kind of like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this. Okay, I have to use my gut intelligence principles right now and breathe into this. And how might I handle this, you know? And then it happened during the finale, too, in a bigger way even. And again, took me by surprise for that moment. And then I'm like, oh, I guess we're doing this. And then just breathed into my gut and, okay, how might we do this? And it ended up being a part of the show. So it makes it really real. I mean, the fact that it wasn't scripted and the fact that it just happened.
What was the most challenging part of producing this and hosting it?
It's so funny. My neighbor asked me that question because we did the last one from my lake property and he was watching out the window. And afterwards he said, I was watching you and you looked really calm, but I was wondering how were you feeling on the inside? And I said, well, you know, I was really calm about my role and speaking because I am a public speaker. So I wasn't nervous about that. But what I was nervous about, and I kept on having, again, to use my skills to shift this, were things I couldn't control. Like every single time we filmed outside, which was every single time, it was supposed to rain. So I was using my manifesting skills, which is ask, believe, receive. So I'm asking, how might we shift this weather? And I'm believing we're going to shift this weather. And the science says when you hold the vision, and I held the vision for, I'm like, it's okay if it's not sunny. In fact, I wouldn't mind some clouds because it'll make it easier where it's not so hot. So I'm imagining some clouds and I'm imagining, yes, okay. I'm okay compromising on the 85 degrees, but no rain. Okay, and I'm imagining this. Well, the rain stopped at 7:15. We start filming at 10. I'm on Pewaukee. My daughter was on Okauchee Lake, which is only 15 minutes away. She said it was pouring out at 10:15 and they couldn't go to the parade. And she was like, oh, my poor mom. Well, I know she's going to figure it out. Well, anyway, when we talked, she said, how is the weather around 10? I'm like, we didn't have a drop of rain.
So you manifested it.
So my property... My property, I manifested it. But it was things like that where I had to really step in and walk my talk. Like, am I going to really operate from a high gut intelligence place where not only am I asking for what I want, but I'm manifesting what I want?
What is the show called?
Shift, the Gut Intelligence Blueprint.
And when and where can we see this? Because I'm really excited
now. Oh, you're so sweet. So it's coming out September 17th, and it's coming out on Apple TV and Amazon and Hulu.
Did you ever manifest or think about this or intuitively know that this is where your life would lead? Back when you were 13 years old and you were talking to your aunt at St. Mary's.
Again, it's one of these things where how do you explain it? I knew I was going to be in, I called it movies back then because we didn't have docu reality series. That name didn't exist, right? Just like consulting, we didn't have the name coaching. I knew I was going to be on some kind of movie thing. I knew that. I just didn't know how. And then all of a sudden this happened and it shifted. So me stepping into it just feels like home. And it's not really different than what I did. I mean, when I was thinking about that after the filming, I'm like, okay, this is really my whole life has been training for this because I did group training, right? I had to manage groups. I had to speak in front of them. When I went into companies, I was shifting them from the lower levels of consciousness of fear, and they're competing internally and judging each other in different departments because, you know, I don't like the way they're doing this, and shifting them to how might we all operate in sync for the vision, values, and goals, and like work at that level of higher consciousness and intuition. I've been doing this shift thing my whole life. You know, now I'm just putting it into a show, you know, and now the contestants are like the employees I've been working with my whole life. Do you see what I'm saying? It's no different, really. They just have a different name. It's like my company now, my contestants, but it's really like when I would go into companies this whole time.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
My real ultimate dream is to be on Dancing with the Stars, but you have to be a star to be on the show first.
Susan K. Worley, the author of Shift, reveals where her gut tells her she'll be in 5 years.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm Libby Collins. Today's conversation is with author and TV producer Susan K. Worley. Let's project 5 years from now. Where are you going to be? Where is Shift going to be? What is that future?
So I've thought about that. And I see me doing this as a series. I really have a heart for wanting to help people, but I do understand that doing it through entertainment makes it engaging. You know, we want to laugh too. Yes, we learn. So I see this as becoming a series and that this is really growing. We are going to be offering an online training platform that goes along with it because the learning piece is really important to me. So those that want to dig a little bit deeper and do their own journey, they're going to be able to do that. And I want to create a community where people, it's a like-mindedness where people want to operate at a higher level of consciousness where they're really listening to that voice within and operating from that versus the ego. Because when you make that shift, there's a sense of freedom that you feel from needing to look good and be right. Instead, you're living in this alignment with your authenticity. And the science also says when people live in that way, they're healthier. Because think about that vagus nerve in your body. It's operating. You know, your gut has more neurons, neurotransmitters, and hormones than your head brain. When you get that thing working, it's like the plumbing's working. Everything in your body starts to work better. So I see it helping the world in that way. In terms of what else am I doing? I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm getting some other ideas too. Like, I can see me doing a show where we've got somebody out there busting people on truths. And I feel like it's going to be called Ego Buster or Truth Buster. And it's going to be funny little things like Candid Camera, except it's going to be where people are really, you know, kind of like the BS card, you know, and then it's going to be funny because we gaslight all the time and we don't even know we're gaslighting, but it's going to be somebody undercover who is catching people gaslighting. And gaslighting is a form of lying, but we don't think it's lying because we think we're just covering things to be more nicey-nice. And I have to be honest, my real ultimate dream is to be on Dancing with the Stars. I'll give you one little hint. On the show, you will see me dance in a ballroom situation. That's all I can tell you. And I have been a ballroom dancer since I've been in my 20s. I used to compete. I don't anymore. But ever since that show came out, I'm like, I want to be on that show. But you have to be a star to be on the show first. So I'm hoping this will be my springboard to be on Dancing with the Stars. So I see things like that developing and me doing more of that, but always with this intention behind it to get people to learn more and get more aligned to their intuition.
My gut is telling me we're going to see a lot more of you, Susan K. Worley.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've been talking with author Susan K. Worley. She's written over 12 books, and one of them, called Shift, is now being turned into a docu-reality show that's going to be on Apple TV, Amazon, and Hulu. Now, if you joined us late and you want to hear how that show came about and also her book that tells you how to follow your gut instinct, go to WTMJ.com and share today's show with your friends and family. You'll also find a partial transcript courtesy of eCourt Reporters. For WTMJ Conversations, I'm Libby Collins.